Mention that there is a Easter breakfast sign-up sheet on the table out in the back. Oh, she brought it up here. Okay, and it has spots for quiche, strata, sweetbreads, different types of fruit, and orange juice, and other. So if you have a brilliant idea, then you really want to bring it, you can bring it. Okay, and just put your name back there and give us an idea of what it is. Just, you know, so that we can know, you know, something about like how much to bring for everybody. And looks like some people have already signed up. This is great. So we're going to put this on the back table for everybody. Okay, thank you.
All right. Well, if you would stand and join us, offering. Okay. Well,
our offering. Father, we thank you today for your grace, and we thank you for prospering us that we have something to give back. And we pray that you bless our offering today. Help us to use it to further the kingdom of God in Jesus' name.
Well, if you would stand and join us, let's worship the Lord today. If you didn't get a song sheet, they are on the back table. We're still working with these while we work out our video system, so it'll be a little bit. So if you need one, if you don't have one and you need one, you could raise your hand. I know Ed or Ray or somebody would be happy to get you one if you don't have one. Your love is faithful through the years. Your love is greater than our fears. We don't know what the future holds, but your love won't stop. Your love won't stop. Your love will flow for us forever like a mighty rushing river. It won't stop. Your love, a promise that won't fail. Your love, a flood that will prevail. Each day new mercies will rise. 'Cause your love won't stop. Your love won't stop. Your love will flow for us forever like a mighty rushing river. It won't stop. We've just begun to know your love. We've just begun. Know your love. We've just begun to know your love. We've just begun to know your love. We've just begun. We've just begun. Your love will fill our final breath. Your love will overcome our death. Then in your life we will rise. 'Cause your love won't stop. Your love won't stop. Your love will flow for us forever like a mighty rushing river. It won't stop. Your love won't stop. Your love will flow for us forever like a mighty rushing river. It won't stop. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Thank you, Father. Oh, we give you glory, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Are you glad that God doesn't run out of love? Are you glad that he loves you with an everlasting, the scripture says, with an everlasting love, one that never, never ends. Glory to his name. Alleluia. Alleluia. For the Lord God Almighty reigns. Alleluia. The Lord God Almighty reigns. Alleluia. Holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb. You are holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb. God Almighty reigns. Alleluia. Holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. You are holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Name. Oh, is your name. Oh, praise your name, Lord Jesus. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me, and I'm desperate for you. I'm lost without you. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me, and I'm desperate for you. And I'm lost without you. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me, and I'm desperate for you. I'm lost without you, and I'm desperate for you, and without you, oh God, oh Lord, we desperate for you, we cry out to you, Lord, The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God, sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God, how great is our God, sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. And age to age he stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God, sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. Name above all names, worthy of all praise, my heart will sing, how great is our God. Name above all names, worthy of all praise, my heart will sing, how great is our God. How great is our God, sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. How great is our God, sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great God. Oh God, you're great. Great and mighty is your name. Great and mighty are you, Lord. Oh, praise your name. The saints and angels bow before your throne. All the elders cast their crowns before the Lamb of God and sing. All the saints and angels bow before your throne. All the elders cast their crowns before the Lamb of God and sing, you are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. All the saints and angels bow before your throne. All the elders cast their crowns before the Lamb of God and sing, you are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night. night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. Oh, you are worthy, Lord. Worthy are you, Lord God. We give you the glory, Lord. You deserve the glory, Lord. Oh, we praise your name. We praise the name of Jesus. Oh, worthy, worthy, Lord, you are worthy. Worthy, Lord. Oh, we lift our voice. You are worthy. You are worthy, Lord. Oh, you deserve the glory, Lord God. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name, my God. Oh, we lift your name, Father. Thank you, Lord. You are worthy. You are worthy. Oh, God, you are worthy. Jesus, we proclaim your name. Wonderful, wonderful God. Oh, Jesus, you are good. You are good, Lord. Ho rababakatai. Praise your name, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your wonderful name, Lord.
Is he worthy of our praise? Oh, God. Is he worthy of our praise on our on the best day when we're doing well? Is he worthy of our praise on our worst day? Is he worthy of our praise when everything is going wonderfully and then when everything is going terribly? He is worthy. He is worthy no matter what. Oh, Father, we thank you. You are worthy, Lord. We give you the glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'd like to mention a couple of prayer needs today. Shay Reagan contacted me this week. She, for many of you who don't know, our former office manager, she is now working full-time for the Rehema Home as the U.S., I don't know what her title is. It's something like manager of the U.S. ministries to the Rehema. I don't know. She's the lead person in the U.S. right now, kind of carrying that. And she contacted me and said that there are some very, she said it's not an emergency, but it's urgent. She said, there are urgent financial needs. To me, that sounds like an emergency. But she said that there are just some very urgent needs at the Rehema home at this time. There's some financial shortfall. And so she's reaching out to a lot of places that support the Rehema home. So I felt like it would be good for us. I thought next weekend, I wanted to announce it this week. Next weekend, I thought it would be wonderful for us to take a special offering to remember the ministry of the Rehema home. Shay told me, she said, you know, she says, you really feel the weight of this thing when you're working so intensely to just to make sure that these kids have enough food to eat. She said, and then I sit down to dinner and I look at my overflowing plate and I think, you know, in your heart, you just want to take that plate and give it to some kid. Okay, something doesn't like me up here. I felt like it would be a wonderful thing for us to be able to, is that thing off now, be able to support them in that way. So I'd like to have a special offering next week to benefit the Rehema home. And, you know, anytime between now and then, if you feel led, if you want to put something in today, that's great. But I know our brother Irvin, Sister Ruth, are just giving themselves there. And they put a big smile on and they talk about how wonderful it is and how God is providing. But I know that there are needs there that where there's lack and they really, really need it. And they don't, and you know, but you don't like to beg either. So let's believe God between now and then for just a blessing and an offering. I'd like to pray that, you know, this isn't the weight simply upon our church, but on all the churches that sponsor that, to just pour out a financial blessing on that group so that they are not scrapping to get by, that there's some real blessing and abundance there. Father, we thank you for our brother Irv and our sister Ruth Schwant that have so given themselves to this ministry. And Father, there's lots of other people there now that are working and helping these children. And there are kids who've gone through their program that have gone on and then come back. And Father, the needs are just great there. And I pray, Father, that you would pour out a financial blessing on that ministry that would be overflowing, Father, so that they wouldn't have to just try to get by and hope and pray for the next support check. God, that you would pour out an abundance upon them. I'm asking for a miracle, Lord, for the Rehema Home Ministry, God, that you would minister to all of these precious children and kids and the adults who have come back, and then the workers, the people who are giving sacrificially to work there and to help, that your blessing would be on it and that you would pour it out in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Are there any testimonies this morning? Brother Arminio, I just saw you here. Welcome. Are you back for a little Easter break, maybe? Sort of. How nice to see you. Wonderful. Any testimonies this morning? I know God's been up to stuff. I know he has. He's always up to stuff. You don't have to testify, but if God's done something, we want to hear about it. Okay, but next week don't make me come and find you. Because I might do that. All right. Very good. Well, in 3 weeks, we are going to call a special meeting of the members of the congregation. And the reason is that they're tired of me and they want me to leave. No, I'm kidding. The reason being that we're looking at a new video system ever since our projector exploded. I wish you could have all been here to hear it. It was just delightful when it exploded. There is some cost associated with that, and our Constitution says that any capital project that costs over $5,000 needs the approval of the congregation, and that's a good safeguard. Our Constitution requires us to do 2 weeks, and 2 weeks is Easter Sunday. How many of you would like to stay and have a nice business meeting after church on Easter Sunday? So I thought, oh God, I can't ask people to do that, Lord. So we'll make it three, the third week, and looking forward to that. We'll have all of that ready for you. Brother Tom has done a lot of the legwork on it. He's going to come and share a little bit about that. And he's going to share the word with us today. So, Brother Tom, come on up. And yay! I hope it's on. Oh, please tell me it's still on.
It's on again. It's a little hot though. Like, it's scaring me. Yeah, so I don't want to get into all the technical things, but just, you can see we have a footprint here of, that would be in the outside diameter of a 98-inch TV, all right? So it's pretty good, and our plan is to put one there and to put one over here, okay? So there's going to be... there's obviously, that's going to be in a fairly expensive TVs, but we want everyone to be able to see, and we don't want people to have over here to try to look over, or vice versa. So we want to put those up, and then in the back we want to put a TV that would enable whoever's speaking to be able to keep track of what's, you know, like Pastor Dave will turn around and he'll go like this, and also we'd like to relieve him of that. And also, when we get singers and so on, they won't have to have music stands and all. It's just a little, that part back there is relatively inexpensive. We just lump it in with the project. So the Constitution says anything over 5,000. We have to bring it to the congregation, which I agree with. I think that's a great thing, so that we're all invested in it. And we're going to be looking at a budget of $10,000, although we don't plan on spending that much. This, if we were to replace this projector with something that would be functional, because as I've looked at it, I'm thinking the thing is getting dimmer and dimmer, and I can't read it, and we show videos and we can't see them. So this has totally been inadequate for a long time, and I think it's been on the way out for a while. So we could take a vote and replace that, and that would be $19,000. So when we start looking at the cost differential, and really churches now are moving away from these and going towards the TVs. That's pretty much the way things are going in most places. They are cheaper than these things. I think they make a better picture. But that is not for me to decide. That is for y'all to decide. So that's what the meeting's going to be about. And so please come and express yourself. If you are having second thoughts, or you want to know more, that is the meeting. We really want to be together on this. It's a fairly large expenditure, and we don't make it arbitrarily. We make it because we've got to spend money to fix something. So the question is, do we want to spend $8,000 or $9,000, or do we want to spend $19,000? And that's kind of where we were at. If we were to go and put smaller TVs up here, we could cut the price, but then you can't see. So then we're going to get into, well, why do we spend all the money for TVs we can't see? So that's just the way things are. And when you go to McDonald's and you pay $20 for a quarter pounder and fries and a drink, it shouldn't be any surprise that it costs more money now to put stuff like this up than it used to. Is it expensive? Yes, it's expensive. But that is what we're going to present to you. We won't take questions now because we have a whole meeting set aside for that. But please, please come. And as I say, we want to be together on this thing. Okay. And then another thing, I just want to mention this to you. We have a missionary couple that is stranded in Haiti right now. Now Haiti is a mess. Haiti is a crisis on a good day, and it's bad there right now. They've, among other things, they're marauding gangs. There's no government. The guy has left. He's out of the country. They broke into a prison, and they released 4,000 criminals. I don't know what you have to do to be a criminal in Haiti. I mean, it seems to me like there's a lot of criminals that aren't in prison. So these guys are out there doing something. The problems are associated directly in Port-au-Prince, but they're not going to stay there. There's nothing for them there. There's no food there. They can't rob the people there. The people there have nothing. I've been to Port-au-Prince. It's a mess. And so they're going to spill over into the countryside, and it's going to be a disaster. And in the midst of this, we have a missionary couple that are, the airport at Port-au-Prince is closed. I don't know when it will reopen. I am part of a crisis management team that's handling this, and we're looking at various options to get them out. We may rent a helicopter. We may go in by boat to extract them. We're not sure what we're going to do. Meanwhile, we're just praying that they will be safe until we can get it lined up. And so their name is Roger and Margaret Clark. I don't know if they've ever visited this church or not, but they've been missionaries in Haiti for 35 years, I think, something like that. They are totally dedicated to Haiti, but they are in jeopardy right now. They are in serious jeopardy right now. So, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we bring Roger and Margaret before you. Lord, you have angels. Lord, you have angels. And, Father, we pray that you would dispatch the meanest, fiercest, strongest, battle-worthy angels that you have at your disposal, and you would dispatch them to stand guard around our brother and sister in Haiti right now. Lord, that you would keep them safe as we work out the details of extracting them from this place, and other missionaries as well who are stuck in various places, some in Port-au-Prince. Father, we just lift them up to you and pray, Lord, for your protection over these servants of yours that are there at your behest. And we thank you for it, Lord, and we trust you, Lord, to give this crisis management team the wisdom, insight, and understanding that we all need to do this job quickly and efficiently. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Roger and Margaret, please put them on your prayer list if you can. And if we get them out, I'll let the office know, and you can say, you can stop praying. They got out. So anyhow, so I want to share with you a little bit today something that was really formulating in my heart when we were on our trip. Armenio, it's really good to see you. It's good to see your face. That when Judy and I were traveling last month, this was really formulating, and I was thinking, you know, this is something I'd really like to share with the church. And actually, in my report a couple weeks ago on it was kind of an introduction, although my wife said I went way too long. So if you felt that, you weren't alone. Others felt that way as well. So if you thought I was long the other day, wait till I'm done today. I am just kidding on that. But I want to talk about this idea of being encouragers. Is it an option? Is it not an option? You know, we often pray for things, and I do as well, and we need to. We need to pray for God would fill us with his power, and we need to pray for miracles, and yeah, absolutely, we need to pray for healing and for spiritual gifts. These are things we need to pray for, but often we omit praying that God would make us a blessing. You know, I remember one time I was meeting with this, you know, the problem is I don't know what stories I've shared here and I haven't, so if I repeat myself, at least you know they're consistent and I'm telling the truth. So I was meeting with this one, he's a pastor. This is some years ago, and I met him in a Denny's or something, and we were having lunch, and he was a lone ranger. Like, he was out there, and he was doing everything by himself, and I made the statement to him over lunch. I said, you know, we need each other to achieve God's will in our lives. He looked me square in the eye, and he said, I don't need you, which wasn't at all as I was expecting. I was expecting something different. All I could think of to say back to him was, well, I need you. See, it's not always about what we need. It's about what we can give. And much of our Christianity focuses on what we need or what we want or what would make us feel great, and we're not really thinking about. And I'm not putting this on anybody. You might say, well, I'm not like that. Well, that's wonderful. And I'm not accusing. I'm just saying it's easy to get more focused on what we need and what we want and forgetting that we may actually be the answer to someone's prayer. We may be the ones that someone is praying to God, will you please send someone to help me? But because we get focused on how things are flowing to us, we don't often think about how things should flow from us. And it's understandable. I think I do the same thing. But the thing about encouraging someone else is, and this is the great thing about it, we are all qualified. It doesn't take any great talents. It doesn't take a great deal of money. Maybe a lunch or something might be nice, but it's not even necessary. It's just a little side thing that might be nice. It doesn't really take a lot of time. And it can have some great results. It can really make the difference. There are people who are like at the end of their rope. And we don't even know it, really. We don't know. Look around. We don't know what's going on in each other's lives. Maybe we know a little bit, but we don't really know what people are facing, what sort of challenges there might be. So when we encourage someone, it can have a great impact on who we're encouraging. But I want to tell you, it comes back to you. When somebody has really received an encouragement and it makes a difference in their lives and they say, thank you so much. Do you remember when you said this to me last week? You didn't even know what you were saying, but man, it really helped me. You know what that does for me? That makes me want to do it more. That's what it does for me. So now this word that most often is translated encouragement in the New Testament. I'm not a Greek guy. And I try to stay away from this because I can easily trip over into my own ignorance. But this is what I understand anyhow, that it comes from a Greek word. In the New Testament, most often the word that is translated encouragement is parakaleo. And para means near, besides, or alongside. And kaleo means call or summon. So a paraclete is someone who is called alongside someone else to encourage, help, or comfort them. That's basically what the word means. And depending on your version of the Bible that you read, it might be translated encourage, comfort, exhort, edify. So all these things come from that same word, and depending on who the translator was, they might pick any one of them. The Holy Spirit is referred to as a paraclete, as a helper. In John 14:16, in the Amplified, I remember a guy that was preaching. He would say, "I'm reading from the Amplified Bible, so if I sound a little loud, forgive me." John 14:16, he says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby to be with you forever." So that's Jesus. "I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you, and he's going to fill all these roles." But we are also called to fill these roles with one another. There doesn't seem to be any shortage of people who can tell you what you can't do, what you shouldn't do, what you're doing wrong, how you're doing it wrong, how dumb you are to even try to do it. I mean, if you want to get people involvement, you tell them what your dreams and your vision, what you want to do, and then stand back, because you're going to have a bunch of people tell you probably can't do it. But then there's always that one person, or at least hopefully there would be that one or two people who can say, "You know what, I think I see this with you. I think you could do this." Now, in the first century church, actually right after Peter, this is like beginning on day one of the new church that was just birthed. On Acts chapter 2, Peter has just got done. He's preaching away. 3,000 get saved. It's a wonderful thing. And it says in Acts 2, verses 46 and 47, I'm back in the New King James now. It says, "So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart." We're talking about relationship here. "And praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." Now, it doesn't say having favor with just the church people, but it says that it says all the people. So I get this idea. The Jews, oftentimes, they came under the dominance, under the ruling of Pharisees, who really could be rough. I mean, you did the wrong thing, you're out of here, and they were tough. Now, all of a sudden, they see a group of people who are accepting and loving, and they took notice of that. And so the people all around this new church, they're saying, those are great people. Favor was upon them because of the way they were relating to each other. And then it says the Lord added to the church. This draws people. If you have people who are encouraging and loving and accepting, that draws people who are looking to be loved and accepted and encouraged. There's this dynamic that can happen when we have churches that love each other. Of course, there's very few commandments given in the New Testament, but one of the commandments that's given numerous times is that you would love one another. That's a commandment. Now, one atheist, and I'm not even going to mention the name because I don't want to, but one atheist said this concerning the church: "All other armies tend to their wounded. The church kills its wounded." Now, I can't say I appreciate the spirit in which that was given or the purpose that was given, but I can't completely disagree with it either. There's people who have gotten themselves into trouble, and the church, instead of stepping in, standing alongside, encouraging, putting an arm around someone, helping them back to where they need to be, they are turned out, cast away, shunned. So when people are struggling and discouraged and losing hope, they need to be encouraged. Some people, the problems they're in are of their own making. Every one of us have been in problems that are of our own making. But that doesn't mean, I mean, we don't want to be judged by our worst moment or our worst experience. We need people to help us through the difficult times, even if we were the ones that caused them. Now I'm going to read from the Message. This is 1 Thessalonians 5:11. We're hitting a bunch of versions today. But it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, "God did not set us up for angry rejection, but for salvation by our Master Jesus Christ. He died for us a death that triggered life. Whether we're awake with the living or asleep with the dead, we're alive with him." You gotta love that. So speak encouraging words to one another. Build up hope so that you'll be able to do this. No one left out. No one left behind. Then he says this, and I give this to you as well. I know you're already doing this. Just keep doing it. No one left out. No one left behind. I don't think we can ever really appreciate the need for encouragement until we are the ones that need encouragement. Then we understand better than before. Now, encouragement, and this is another message. I just want to mention it to you so you know I'm aware of it. Encouragement can include loving correction. You know, encouragement, you know, a cheerleader will cheer. So the guy catches the ball and runs the wrong way, and the cheerleaders are cheering. They don't care what you do. You're just running around there cheering. That's their job. A coach is not a cheerleader. A coach will grab a kid by the face mask and pull him in and says, son, have you lost your mind? What are you doing? And he will let him know that is not the way to play the game. So there needs to be coaches, mentors. There needs to be that dynamic in our lives, okay? But so I'm not saying we need to just be cheerleaders for any kind of misbehavior or anything like that. Not saying that at all. Galatians 6, 1 and 2 says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. I'm working on that. Consider yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We are in this thing together. We are not going to make it alone. I told that guy in that restaurant, we need each other. He said, I don't need you. Well, he had a contracting business on the side, and it was just within weeks of having that meeting that all of a sudden he got charged with a serious felony, being accused of stealing building material, which it turned out he didn't do, but he was accused of it. He was looking at going to jail. Guess what? He needed people. He changed his tune from that lunch to after he was indicted. We're to help one another. Our encouragement has to be vocal. Sometimes we can admire people or whatever from a distance, but sometimes we need to just say it. Now, my grandmother, she was just a wonder. She died at 92 years old. When she died, if you took her kids, not her kids' spouses, but just her kids, her grandkids, and her great-grandkids, there were 92 of us, and she died at 92. And she knew all of us. I mean, she knew our birthdays without writing them down. I can't remember my own birthday, but she would remember. But she had this quirky little thing. And so I'd be over there, and she would be bragging on my sisters. Oh, they did this, and they did that, and oh, it's. And I remember thinking, can't she got anything good to say about me? And then one day, one of my sisters said, you know what? Sometimes I get mad at Grandma. I was, why? Because when I'm over there, she only brags on you. She never says anything about me. So it's like she had this weird thing where she wouldn't say to you, you're doing good, but she'd tell everybody else how good you were doing. I don't know what to make of that. I just know that sometimes we need to say it. We need to say it. Now, there's a guy in the Bible, talked about him a few years back from this pulpit, but his name is Barnabas, and he was nicknamed the Son of Encouragement. We can't spend much time on him. But he was a behind-the-scenes kind of guy. In the Bible, he didn't write any of the epistles. He wasn't the lead guy in the Paul and Barnabas team or any of that. But this guy had more influence in the New Testament at that time than I think Paul the Apostle. I think Paul the Apostle has more influence now, but back then, this guy Barnabas, he encouraged Paul. To continue to go forward. Paul started out totally misunderstood. He was Saul. He was out there imprisoning and even killing Christians. He was there when Stephen the martyr was stoned. And now all of a sudden he's a believer. He met Jesus. And guess what? The believers are all scattering. They don't want anything to do with him. He's a dangerous guy. It says in Acts 9:27, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus the name of the Lord, and you know what? They accepted him. How encouraging that must have been for him. It was Barnabas who saw John Mark. They took him on the first missionary journey, and John Mark wimped out. He got in this thing, and he said, this is too heavy for me. I can't handle it. And he left Paul and Barnabas, and he went back to Jerusalem. And now Barnabas wants to take him out again. And Paul the apostle, not one of his most compassionate moments, he said, there's no way. The guy is a loser. He bailed out. That, you read it, it's in the Greek. He is a loser, and we don't want him here, and I'm not taking him. And Barnabas said, well, then you go without me. I'll take him and go my other way. It's in Acts 15. And so it says, and so Barnabas took Mark, and he sailed to Cyprus. I wonder how Mark felt, having Barnabas stand up for him like that. I wonder how he felt. But here's, I know what the result of that was. In 2 Timothy 4:11, Paul is an old man. He's in prison. And he says in 2 Timothy 4:11, he's saying, only Luke is with me here. So get Mark. That's John Mark. That's the guy that Barnabas put his arm around. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me in ministry. Mark wrote one of the Gospels. Do you think he would have wrote that Gospel if nobody would have encouraged him? Barnabas encouraged this new church in Antioch to go forward, Acts 11:23 and 24. And when he came and he seen the grace of God, he was glad, and he encouraged them all with purpose of heart that they should continue with the Lord, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and great many people were added to the Lord. Encouragers. There's a shortage of them. I think we think good things about each other, but maybe we need to say them once in a while. Don't make up things. Find real things. You ever wonder who encouraged Billy Graham? Unknown to me anyhow. But whoever that, probably a Sunday school teacher or something, started out, some people along the way. You know, Billy Graham wasn't always as famous as he was when he passed on and passed off the scene. In the beginning, he had his struggles. And somebody had to say, come on, Billy, we can do this. Keep going. Interesting thing about Billy Graham is I don't know how many years he actually was in that ministry, more than 40, but he had almost the same team with him when he finished as when he started. I thought that's amazing. You can walk with people for that many years and still be together and in unity. I'm sure there's a lot of encouraging that went back and forth. There's a lot of difficult days in there. There's a lot of people who have done great things. People who do great things didn't do them all by themselves. Somewhere in their lives, there are people who prayed for them, said, you can do it. Gave him a little input. I remember a kind of a difficult time in our lives. We were serving as missionaries in the Congo. It was called Zaire at the time, and we all got sick. And it was hepatitis, and I had a very bad case, and it was causing some complications. I had plugged liver ducts or whatever I had. I don't know. Anyhow, my toxin levels were off the chart. And this Rwandese doctor who happened to come into the village where we were, he looked at some of my test results that I had managed to get, and he said, he's got to get out of here, like, now. He's got to go to Nairobi. He's got to go to Kinshasa. He's got to go someplace where there's a hospital. He's going to die. And Mission Aviation Fellowship, a special flight, and I got on there and left Judy and the kids behind. One of the most difficult days of my life, looking out the window of that little airplane, and seeing my wife and my three little kids, and they're at the And this airport was not like Rochester or Buffalo. The airport was like that field up there. And there they were, and waving at this airplane. And I'm leaving my wife and my children behind. And it was a very, very difficult season. I can't even tell you how difficult it was. And I was went to stay at these friend's house. They took us in. They took me in. She followed, by the way, a week later. She closed down the house and followed a week later. It was good to be back together. But I was staying at this house, and a day or two after I got there, they were having a mission meeting where all the missionaries get together and they praise and worship and share and pray for each other. And I sat in the circle. I was like 125 pounds. And I was as yellow as Judy's sweater. I was not in great shape. And I sat there kind of out of gas. And she's this sister, and some of you may even know her. I don't know if you do or not. If you don't, you'll meet her in heaven and you'll be happy. Her name is Eva Butler. And Eva Butler was actually Carlton Spencer's sister, if you know who Carlton Spencer is. But at any rate, Eva sat next to me, and I highly admired her. Just highly admired this, and she'd been a missionary for decades. And she patted me on the knee, and she said, "You'll be back." I can't even begin to tell you what that meant. That little word. I felt at that moment in my life, I felt so low. I felt like such a failure. I felt like nothing I've done has turned out right. And but I had this senior sister in the Lord who expressed confidence in God and confidence in me. I was stunned at how this simple voice of confidence could affect me so much. It just changed. Something was realigned inside of me when I got that. Encouraging, as I said earlier, is not taking in, it's giving out. And you may never know this side of eternity what an encouraging word to someone might mean. Our own St. Patrick, by the way, St. Patrick, happy birthday. Our own St. Patrick, I love getting emails from him. Pardon me? Who else? Well, this isn't really about birthdays. It's amazing how quick you can lose something here. I love getting emails and texts from him because at the end of them, he always signs them, "Press on, Pat." He just always puts that in his emails and texts, "Press on." I hadn't been planning on pressing on, but it's good that I have somebody encouraging me, helping me remember there's some forward motion that needs to happen. Okay, so who should we be encouraging? We should be encouraging our leaders. You know, Paul said at one point, he said he's gone through this, he's gone through that, he's been in all kinds of issues and problems, and he says, and on top of all this, I'm carrying the burden for the churches every day. You know, Pastor Dave might not be here, you might not see him all the time, but I'm telling you, I've been a pastor. He carries the burden of this church every waking moment and probably most of his sleeping moments. In Deuteronomy 3:27, God is talking to Moses. And so he said to Moses, he said, "Go up and lift your eyes towards the west, the north, the south, and the east, and behold it with your eyes, for you shall not cross over this Jordan." Moses was naughty, and he wasn't going to make it. But he said, "But command Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which you see." When Moses, instead of being jealous of Joshua, encouraged Joshua, what he was doing was making sure that the people of Israel would actually get their inheritance. You know, when you encourage your pastor, you are actually helping to make sure that our church gets where it needs to be. At least one amen, please, on that one. That one needs an amen from somebody. Second Chronicles 35, 1 and 2. Now Josiah kept the Passover to the Lord in Jerusalem, and they slaughtered the Passover lambs on the 14th day of the first month. And he set priests in their duties and encouraged them for service in the house of the Lord. Encouraged for service. Acts 28, 15. And from there, when the brethren heard about us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and Three Inns. When Paul saw them, now Paul was on his way to Rome. Some people say that was his last stop. He was in prison. He was taken there for trial before Caesar. And so he was making his way there towards him. And so he's getting closer and closer and closer to Rome. And these people came, these believers heard about him. They came and they met him when the boat step came in. And it says, and when Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. He gets this idea that Paul was, hey, bring whatever you want. I got it. He took courage. He was nervous. He was carrying a burden. And these guys showed up, and when they showed up, he took courage. I can do this. I can face this. We need to encourage each other. Acts 22. Now when he had gone over the region and encouraged them with many words, he came to Greece. This is Paul. Paul was encouraging all the time. He's encouraging people. Walk with God. Embrace the gospel. Don't stray. 1 Thessalonians 3, 1 and 2. Therefore, when we could no longer endure it, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborers in the gospel of Christ to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith. Paul is being chased out of every place at this point, but he sends Timothy to go and to minister to them and encourage them. Even he couldn't do it, he said, Timothy, you go and do it for me. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, it says, gives us this instruction, therefore comfort each other and edify one another just as you are doing. You never know what a seemingly, what seems to be a relatively insignificant moment, what it really can mean. There was this time I've been involved with people in recovery. I think that actually now I think is the first time in many, many years that I'm not involved with people in recovery. But I've been involved with people in recovery for many years. And I was got involved when we were down in Maryland in this thing. It was called Power to Change. And a friend of mine, an older brother, is gone to be with the Lord now. He had gotten saved in AA. He had been sober for more than 33, 34 years at the time, and he knew who Jesus Christ was. But he called this an 11th step meeting. Now, do you all know what the 11th step of AA is? Let me read it for you. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understand Him, praying daily for knowledge of His will and for the power to carry that out. That's the 11th step. Now, Christians get all kinds of tight when they get to God as you know Him thing. I don't like AA because they don't mention Jesus. Listen, if this is where somebody needs to start, let them start there. AA is not a Christian organization. A lot of people are sober right now. Now, when somebody comes to know Jesus, the deal is that He sets them free from that. They're not white-knuckling it and all of that. Anyhow, I got involved with this 11-step meeting, but it was Christian, and the idea was that we would get people from AA to come in, and we would tell them who this God is that they need to understand. And that's what the whole purpose was. I just got really involved with these people, and some of them are my friends to this very day, and good friends of mine, close friends. But there was a lady who came to this meeting, and she came a number of times, and she was a very sweet lady, but she had some very, very serious addiction problems. And one day when we were talking on the way out, I took my card out. Pastors always carry cards. I took my card out and I gave it to her, and I said, I don't even remember her name. I'm going to call her I don't know how to call her anything, but I didn't remember her name. And I said, if you ever need anything, just give me a call. And so she took my card and she left. She just said thank you and put it in her purse and away she went. Didn't see her for the longest time. Now, you know, sometimes I wonder where she is. Maybe she's moved out of the area. I don't know. So about a year later, she shows up at this Power to Change meeting. And so going around the table, people are talking. And so she's there, and she's kind of nervous, and she's playing with the card, and it gets to be her turn. And this is what she said. She said, this last year has been horrible. She said, I have almost killed myself numerous times. She said, but when I was going to do that, she said, Pastor Tom, you gave me this card, and I would look at it, and I would realize that there was somebody out there who cared about me, and I didn't kill myself. All I did was give her a card and say, give me a call. And she didn't kill herself. Encouraging people is kind of important. But you have to encourage yourself too. Coming near the end of this, Philippians 2:19, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly that I may be encouraged when I know your state. He needs some good news. He wants to hear that these people are doing good. And then he'll be encouraged. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. You're working among them. Jude 20, but you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, a lot of people say, you know, I don't like tongues, and, you know, I don't need tongues, and can you get to heaven without tongues? Absolutely, you can get to heaven without tongues. But Jude 20 says, one of the things that tongues is for is you just pray in the Spirit, and you will build yourself up. You encourage yourself in your most holy faith, building yourself up. I've barely scratched the surface. I mean, this is one of those messages you could just go on and on and on. I heard somebody say, I think you already have. But I barely scratched the surface. You read your Bible. You read it. It's not all about what you get. There's a lot of what you get in there. Thank God for what we get. There's a lot about what you're supposed to be given. And it may not benefit you at all, but doesn't mean that you're not supposed to do it. So I'm going to ask a few questions. I'm going to close in prayer. I'm going to surrender the microphone to our pastor. Can you, right now, think of a time when you needed encouragement? Did you get it? I hope you did. How did that make you feel? How did it make you feel? Somebody saw, somebody knew, somebody took a moment to encourage you. Can you think of someone today who needs encouragement? Somebody in your sphere. Don't have to be Christians. Somebody in your sphere, somebody in your family. Somebody who's really hitting the skids. Maybe you think about them all the time. Maybe you pray for them. Sometimes you just got to say it. Sometimes you just got to say, what can I do? I'm for you. Would it be possible, would you be willing to consider making it a goal in your, let's say, until Resurrection Sunday. Let's say just a couple of weeks. Could you make it a goal to find at least one person every day to give an encouraging word to? Just looking. Now, this is what I call missional living. Missional. Missional means you're on a mission. When you get up in the morning, you say, Lord, help me know who to encourage today, and for the rest of that day, you're looking. You're looking. You're on a mission. You're looking. One of our problems is that we don't live missionally at all. We get up and we stumble through our day and we don't think in terms that God has us here to meet somebody, to interact with somebody, and so these opportunities arrive and they go and we miss them because we're not missional. So So could you be missional for this week? Okay. I hope that you will find people to encourage. I think our church is wonderful, and we help each other, and I recognize that, and I love it. But could we be more, what's the word, directed to know that at any point in time, the people in this church, the people outside this church, people that you touch, just need a word that would help them take another lap, help them to go on, help them to move forward. Father, I am so thankful to you in Jesus' name for every brother and sister in this congregation. Lord, I do know that they are serving people. They do serve. Lord, I pray that you just open our hearts to a greater degree than we've ever experienced before to understand the difficulties that we face. Some of them we don't even know about, but Lord, help us to be ready to give a word of encouragement to anyone when we have an opportunity. And I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you for this morning. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for being good to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Dave.
Thank you. The book of Proverbs says, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Have you had people speak life to you? Have you had people speak death to you? Both have an impact. You get to choose. We get to choose. Amen. Thank you for that. Please remember to pray over all of the preparations that we're doing in regard to our video. And remember, please, the offering as well next week for the Rahama home. God bless you. If you're here today and you would like prayer, we welcome you to come up now. Otherwise, God bless you. Have a great week. And happy St. Patrick's Day. And wish Pat Regan a happy birthday.
Cyst right on the end of this tendon, and it's I'm losing use of this finger. I mean it's like a trigger finger, not a trigger finger, but they're gonna have to do surgery on it.